The gate. In the Old Testament description of the gate, the one Hebrew word masak is always used in speaking of the outside door, that is, the door of the tabernacle court, the door of the tabernacle proper, and the veil. The gate was made of fine twined linen with delicately interwoven coloring of blue, scarlet, and purple. There is no specific design mentioned. The door of the tabernacle proper was interwoven with a design of the cherubim. The veil was also the same. The cherubim were always symbolical of the bride. The gate always typifies Jesus Christ as the way or entrance. Jesus stands alone as the only one who can redeem the world. The bride could not be associated with Christ in his vicarious atonement, but when it comes to the holy place and the veil, she is definitely associated with him in his heavenly ministry. If the bride be perfectly identified with Christ, she will know something of the rending of the veil, the flesh. The veil in the temple was rent from the top to the bottom at Jesus' crucifixion, at the moment he died, showing that it was done from above. God always does the rending. Then the bride is also identified with Christ in prayer. We are royal priests, and we partake of the heavenly manna. The hangings of the court and of the temple tabernacle proper were the same, but there was no design on the gate of the court. The bride could have no fellowship with Christ in redemption. Each of the interwoven colors of the gate has its significance. Blue signifies his heavenly origin. He is the one from above. Scarlet suggests the reason for his visitation, that he might atone for the world. Purple is suggestive of his royalty, for he is King of Kings. The gate in size was 20 cubits by 5 cubits. It suggests the universal generous salvation. Whosoever will, I am the door, him that cometh to me. Luke 6:47, John 10:9, and John 6:37, and others. It is broad and low. It has 4 pillars that hold the curtain. The altar and the laver are large, but the posts are far enough apart for these needed articles to come in. The door of the tabernacle proper is narrower, being 10 cubits by 10 cubits, only half as wide as the gate of the court. The way into the deeper things of God is narrower than the door of salvation. It is the very same area, signifying that he is the same Christ. The entrance of the tabernacle proper has 5 pillars, but they are far enough apart to admit the articles belonging there: the candlestick, the showbread table, and the mercy seat. We could not take the brazen altar in there. There is a time and a place for everything. There is a time to stand before the brazen altar, a time to stand before the table of showbread, and a time to stand before the golden altar of incense, prayer. Many people never get into the holy place at all because they are trying to lug in the brazen altar and the laver with them. A lot of people are going to heaven backwards, dragged in by the nape of the neck. Then they try to hold on to their old experiences. We are brought to salvation that we might become a worshiper. The sinner does not worship. He does not know anything about it. Anyway, he is so glad when he is saved that that is all he can see. Cain was the first one who refused to come in by the way of this broad gate. Since then, many others have refused that way and tried to concoct one of their own. There was not a bit of brass in the heavenly place and no gold in the court. The court speaks of his earthly ministry and the holy place of his heavenly ministry. Christ is the door, the way of salvation. The 4 pillars of this door into the holy place speak of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who were called of God to give a divine picture of Christ. This door was the only way of access to God. There is only one entrance. Jesus is the only way to God. John 14:6, John 10:9, Acts 4:12, and Ephesians 2:18. However, there are many wrong views that people hold. Some folks think that if they take a way that seems right, they will be saved. But Proverbs 14:12 counteracts that with, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Before he turned to Jesus, the Apostle Paul was very sincere, but he was all wrong. It is not safe to be guided by our conscience, for natural man is a fallen creature. In speaking of the crucifixion of Christ, each of the Gospels speaks of the robe that they placed upon him. Matthew says the robe was scarlet, thus emphasizing his earthly dignities as the Son of David. Matthew 27:28. Mark emphasizes the combination of heavenly perfection and earth, a purple robe. Mark 15:17. Luke says the robe was a gorgeous garment. Luke 23:11. This word gorgeous could be translated a white robe or glistening white. John's account is that the robe was a garment of blue, heavenly perfection. John 19:2. John dwells on the divinity of Christ. In Scripture, the colors of purple, scarlet, and blue are interchangeable, so it is easy to see how each gospel writer put upon it a different interpretation. Purple is the word used for the mollusk, a little sea animal that poured out this wonderful coloring. Lydia was a seller of this same purple. Scarlet came from the cochineal, a little worm, which, when crushed, exuded the scarlet or brilliant atoning color. The brazen altar. The brazen altar was the first thing that met the sinner's gaze as they entered the court, and it speaks of the cross of Christ as the only means of access to God. It is the very beginning of any fellowship with him. We must needs know him there first. The sin offering was taken outside the camp. Jesus became sin for us and was crucified outside the city walls, outside the camp. In these offerings, only the fat was taken inside. Read Exodus 29:13-14, Leviticus 4:5-7, and 11-12, and 16-21, Leviticus 16:14-19, and 27. Brazen altar position. The brazen altar is the altar at the door, Leviticus 4:7. In the sinner's approach to God, the first object that meets his gaze is this brazen altar. It speaks of Calvary as the center of the universe. Calvary is our first step on our way to God. Before we have any communion with him, we have to pass the brazen altar. In the outer court, there are two elements between the sinner and God. 1, fire, the brazen altar, and 2, water, the laver of brass. Jesus is the way, and if we come that way, there must be sacrifice. A fire is kept burning continually upon the brazen altar. Some offering must be made to appease or satisfy this fire, which speaks of the necessity of redemption. Christ is the only sacrifice acceptable. He has been laid upon the brazen altar. The sin offering was burned outside the camp. Only the fat was brought inside. As the fire of God fell upon this offering outside, it was burned. But the fat, the best, representing zeal, was taken inside as a symbol. The brazen altar was the altar of acceptance. Christ was crucified outside the camp. The question of sin was settled outside the camp. The question of acceptance is settled at the brazen altar in the court. The order is important and significant. Acceptance of the sinner after the sin offering had been accepted for the sinner. The two altars. We have two altars in this tabernacle study. The first altar is made of brass because it speaks of sin judged. The brazen altar speaks of Christ's work on earth. The second altar was made of gold, the altar of incense, and was put in the holy place. And thou shalt put it before the veil, Exodus 30:6. It speaks of divinity and the work of Christ in the heavenlies. The altar of incense suggests two things, prayer or intercession and worship. As the priest went into the holy place to worship, he laid the incense on the golden altar, but he had to have a coal off the brazen altar with which to light it. It had to have something that speaks of sacrifice. He wants to offer prayer, yet he cannot do it with any other fire. Any substitute that man may provide is displeasing to God. No priest could offer strange fire. The two elder sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, died because they offered strange fire, Leviticus 10:1-2, Numbers 3:4. The Lord sent a fire that destroyed them. If you deny sacrifice, there is no real ground for the worship of God. We offer our prayers in the name of Jesus, who offered himself on the brazen altar. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is the truth. We worship on the basis of his work. Atonement is the basis of intercession and worship. The brazen altar brings us into the place of acceptance, while the golden altar maintains us there. Jesus Christ is not only the Savior of the world, the Lamb slain, but he is also the High Priest interceding for us. He is the one who pulls us through the tight places. The two altars are inseparable because he was the only one who could die for us on this brazen altar, and he is now the one who intercedes for us as our High Priest. The brazen altar has been called the place of transference. Here, in a figure, the guilt of the offerer was transferred while the excellency of the offering was imputed to us. As the divinely appointed place of sacrifice, the brazen altar formed the central part of the whole tabernacle. It was most holy. Exodus 29:37 and Matthew 23:19.